The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined by Eric, the deep state operative.
Yes. Today, the role of Haley, the first introducee, will be played by me.
Yeah. And we're also joined by Steph, who appeared to step on a tack or something a second ago while muted, because she just made this horrible wincing face like she had just inflicted incredible pain on herself.
Oh, I make faces like that all the time. That's how I tell people I'm happy.
Okay, good to know.
One of her enemies is testing out the voodoo doll.
Aha!
I think that face was actually in response to the fact that it didn't take 15 minutes to introduce me.
I had that thought too.
Well, yeah. I mean that's just because we are like we're down a person, so we gotta.
Yeah, yep. Haley's usually the one who brings up the banter, and then Mike and me just kind of stare at each other coldly from across the room.
Oh no! Yeah, hush you. You're full of bants. What are you talking about? Oh my god! I'm the one who was literally sitting in the cuck chair while you and Steph were talking for 30 minutes in the pregame before we started the show. So like, don't act like you're not a part of the problem. You're part of this crime here.
I know. Back when I would do a weekly role-playing night, I was usually pretty bad about having any, you know, contributing to there only being 20 minutes of actual role-playing, with the other 3.5 hours being me making cracks about everything happening.
What I really enjoyed about my, like, time in, like, the role-playing world was watching the people who actually cared about their characters and the people who just wanted to roll the dice and kill things. And so we talked about the people who were role-playing, R-O-L-E, role-playing, and the people who were role-playing, R-O-L-L, role-playing. It's like my barbarian wants to hit someone with their sword. Can I do that yet? And it's like, okay, Bob, you know, we're getting to it. We're getting – the fight's going to happen any minute now. But Jimmy here is actually trying to parlay with the king to grant your party safe passage to this other realm. And he's just like, let me know when I can fucking kill some kobolds. This shit sucks. And it's like, yeah, why are you even doing this if all you want to do is roll a die every now and then? There are so many board games that will avail you of that ability. And it's just like, eh.
Yeah, I knew several people who were like that. And they usually didn't last very long in our groups, largely because of the asinine comments that my friends and me were making, but also because we were also to a certain extent interested in the role playing part of it too.
Right. I mean that was the thing. It's like when there was a game called All Flesh Must Be Eaten.
Yes.
And I was the DM, and you'll be shocked to find out that L and one other player in my group of five were the two guys that actually worked on their characters. So, like, basically, L and the other guy were, like, the two arms of Atlas holding up the party of five, and the other three were just sitting there waiting for their turns to shoot stuff.
And it was... in their defense, they probably expected a game about zombies to have a lot of shooting involved.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, it was a running joke. Like, one guy got his character killed, like, every third or fourth session. And he would immediately reroll a new character that had fast reaction time and situational awareness. Every single character he had would always have those perks. And it was like, yes, I understand you're a gun on legs. We get it. Like, but it still hasn't saved you. L is still on his character that he's had from the start. And his character is not a gun on legs, but he's not a moron, so he doesn't get himself killed the way you do.
Remember, they had a joke like that in their remake Voltron series that Netflix had, where there's this one episode where they're playing a role playing game, and the one like the leader guy, he's not really too experienced with it. He makes a paladin and gives him like a cursory backstory, and then the guy dies. So they're like, so he makes a new character who's the twin brother of the paladin with a one letter different name and the exact same backstory. And everyone's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, we're not getting anything more out of you. So why would we even think we would? Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, with making the same guy over and over. I knew a guy who would do that. Every character is basically the same person, but he had fun. He showed up every week. He didn't drag it down, you know. So it was cool.
Yeah. So any good stuff going on for you, Eric, this week?
You know, I've actually been thinking about that. I mean, like, things are going pretty good. I've been just super busy because I'm back in college, so I'm juggling that, a job, and, you know, making time for my family too. So I'm too busy to have a good time, basically.
Yeah. How are you doing, Steph? Anything good going on?
I'm still having fun making stuff for my game, but the company that makes my game was just sold to Jared Kushner in Saudi Arabia. So today I purchased my very last expansion pack, and there will be no more after today that I purchase.
Oh, yeah. Sims is Electronic Arts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of had a controversial history even before that. So, it's kind of dicey from the beginning, I guess.
But the one good thing, and there was a good article in Slate that I read, what the Sims, when the first one came out in 1999, it was the first video game to ever allow for same-sex relationships. And that trend has continued through all the different versions of the Sims. And now in 4, you can have top scars, you can customize your gender, you can customize your pronouns. It's actually been helpful to people who are trying to understand their own gender or sexual identity. And now it's been sold to the country that helped fund 9/11 and who constantly demonizes LGBTQ people. So it's really, really sad.
Yeah, I hadn't considered it from that point of view. That is a good point. And I remember playing the original Sims and finding out about that same-sex thing by accident because I started off at this house with these two male roommates, and then one of them started into a relationship with a neighbor. And unbeknownst to me, the other roommate, it was funny because the one roommate had fallen in love with the other roommate, but the other guy couldn't stand him. Just, I guess, something about the personalities mixing. So there's this part where the girl comes over and the one guy gives her a hug. And I see the other guy like walking towards them very quickly. I'm like, what's he doing? And I click on his character and says, he's about to go slap the girl. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. Let's pump the brakes here. This was not what I had intended on doing in this game. I had not expected bi love triangle going on in my game.
And there are a lot of people, like there are some people who make their own, like I make my own content, but I'm not actually making it like, I'm not making the 3D meshes for it. I'm just doing the colors and stuff. But there are people who make a lot of money through their Patreon for subscriptions to their stuff. So it's going to, it could affect them. It's a safe haven for some people. It's a good escape. It's a way to learn, you know, and It really is. And I keep telling people it's not just a game. Like there's much more to it for a lot of people than it just being a game. Yeah. And they also make Plants versus Zombies. So
I never realized that the Plants versus Zombies is the same guys.
And Alice, the Madness Returns, the one with the insane Alice. Yeah.
Yeah. The twisted version of Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Learn your comms.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about you, Mike? Anything going on good for you?
I got credits on Hades 2, which was fun.
How did I guess that Hades would be your answer?
You didn't. You didn't. If you had, you would have said it. You'd been like,
I was thinking about it, but I was like, no, he's already started talking. I'll wait.
Fair, fair. But yeah, no. Yeah, because I had done early access and they didn't like scrub the character, I was like way ahead of the game. So it was going to be pretty easy for me to get to credits, and I did. And it's great. I mean, they did everything you'd want in the game, and then they hit you with the justification why you can keep playing the roguelike over and over again. Which, like, given the fact that the main antagonist in the game is Kronos, who is the Titan of Time, mm-hmm. it was like, you're like, there's a million different ways you can go with this to make this like a time loop where you have to keep fighting him over and over again. But the way they did it was actually like pretty cool. And I really did enjoy the resolution to the storyline and all that stuff. So there's a little more to do, but again, because I was pretty far ahead of the game, I'm pretty close to beating the entire story at this point. Cause it's like, you know, from Hades 1 that you get credits, but then there's still a lot more work to do to beat the story. So like, that's where I'm at right now, is like completing the story part of it. And
do they play a really epic song over the credits again?
Oh, of course they do. The credit payoff is hilarious. Like, in Hades, you kind of probably knew how it was going to work out.
Yeah.
You don't know how the payoff in Hades 2 for the credit scene is going to work out. And when you get it, you're like, oh wow, that is nuts. And then like the big song hits and the credits roll and you're like, oh, slam. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say, for anybody listening to this show who hasn't played Hades and has no interest in playing Hades, I would recommend looking up, what's the song called? It's In the Blood.
So yeah, In the Blood.
Yeah. I would recommend looking it up, because it is an incredible piece of music, and it's got like there's actual storytelling going on in it. The lyrics are very poetic. It's a great song, even if you don't give a flap about the game itself.
Right. It's like Still Alive from Portal.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the song transcends the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very funny that you bring that up, because mild Hades 2 spoiler, but you should play this game because it's incredible. So you obviously are going into the underworld to fight Kronos. The second boss in the game is Scylla and the Sirens. And they're a band. And when you fight them, they're actually playing a song as you fight them. And then after you fight them a few times, they write a song about you. And it's a diss. They write a diss track about the protagonist. And it's incredible. And then when they got to 1.0, they made more songs. So, like, Scylla and the Sirens is, like, the most hilarious boss fight I've seen in a long time. So, it is so good.
It's kind of like K-pop Demon Hunter, except I'd probably actually want to listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually, like, tortured my friends who don't even play the game. I've sent them the videos of the I've sent them, like, the YouTube clips of the songs. Mm-hmm. It's great. So, yeah. But yeah, the Hades series are great, and it, like, they were people who were like, I don't know if Supergiant's going to make a sequel. It's like, how do you not make a sequel when you've made a really successful game? You've got to print that money while you can. So, right. Good on them, and yeah, stack that paper. So
it's like asking, is there going to be a sequel to The Matrix? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that, what was really funny about that was like the Wachowskis were just like, we're good here. And then the studio was like, here is a bag of money. Write some dog shit. And the Wachowskis were like, you got it, boss. No problem. Yeah. So anyhow, that was enough happiness and fun and all that good stuff. Time to get into Hell World. Time to enjoy the actual nightmare that is the consequences of all us dum-dums not doing enough to prevent Donald Trump from being reelected as president.
I just realized you missed out on a segue there. You could have said, speaking of descending into Hades, let's talk about
Hell World. Oh, yeah. You see, I'm not good at this. I'm very bad at my job. So, yeah. But, yeah, boy howdy. Eric, hit your shout out. Start us down this dark road.
I just realized I was muted. I'm an expert at this too.
Yep.
So, yeah, I noticed on the episode we did last week, there was one entire comment on Spotify from a Green Pirate asking that we talk about Donald Trump retweeting MedBed conspiracy theories on Truth Social.
Was it Green Pirate or Grass Pirate?
Grass Pirate. Sorry. Thank you. I'm glad I said it to you because I knew I was going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. We love you, Grass Pirate, and we will go by your preferred nom de plume on the internet.
Yes. I'm sorry I dead named you.
Yes. So anyhow, so what happened over the weekend was our president, and this is the thing that like drives me up a wall about all of this shit, is that our media has made it abundantly clear that literally every other person in my life who has ever sought to hold the office of president of the United States has been held to a sort of standard where one of those things that you have to do in order to become the president is not be a fucking insane moron. And for some reason, Donald Trump was never held to that standard. For some reason, it was just sort of like, grandpa's losing his marbles. Ain't that a lark? Isn't that just hilarious? And so over the weekend, he posted a video of himself being interviewed by Laura Trump, his daughter-in-law. And the conversation was about med beds and it was AI. It was very obviously AI. Trump's voice is not very Trumpy in the video. And the video talks about how very soon these med beds are going to be rolled out. And you, as an American citizen, can apply for a card to have access to these med beds. And they're going to do phenomenal work and they're going to get everyone in tippy top shape. That would have been a great Q proof if they had said that. And bingo, bango, we're just going to make America great with these med beds. And this video went up and it stayed up for about a day and a half or so before Dan Scavino or whoever finally got word that, yeah, this is a bridge too far, and they pulled it. And today, Karen Levette, the press secretary, was asked about the MedBed video, and she blurted out a bunch of word salad about Donald Trump being very transparent and did not answer the question about why he posted a video on MedBeds and then why did he take down the video on MedBeds? Because those are the real questions that need to be answered.
Frankly, I'm amazed that any reporter brought it up at all.
Yeah, the fact that they deigned to touch this with a 20-foot pole is incredible. Now, there might be some people, and God help you if you're one of them, who are listening to this and saying, Mike, what's a med bed? And boy, I don't know how you found this podcast, but this is a humdinger of a first episode for you. So, med beds are a conspiracy theory created by Illuminati believers and other reality-denying nuts that our government and all governments of the world, basically, have access to super futuristic technology that they either obtained themselves or obtained it from aliens or from demons or some other extraterrestrial power or supernatural power bestowed these things on them, and that the med beds can heal any illness, fix any malady. They're basically immortality devices. They are like the Lazarus pits from Batman that Ra's al Ghul uses to keep himself youthful and vigorous. And go ahead, Steph.
I was just going to say also Stargate and Fifth Element have med beds in them.
And Elysium.
Elysium's the big one because literally everyone,
right.
Literally everyone reacted to this by saying, this is the fucking plot of Elysium.
Yeah.
What is the president doing?
And also, if you have more questions about MedBeds, we did do an in-depth episode about it. So you can look through us at your favorite podcast supplier and look for that episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is what this is the nonsense that Trump posted. And this isn't even like the bullshit QAnon riling up nonsense where he just posts a thing where it's like, we go one, we go all, trust the plan. Where he's just winking and nodding at nuts who like believe in what he's doing and think he's actually going to like crush all his enemies. Meanwhile, they're sitting there going, oh man, these false claims charges against James Comey are going to bring down Hillary Clinton. We're going to get them, guys. Yay. It's like, buddy, like, you'll be lucky if James Comey spends a day inside a courtroom, much less a day inside a prison cell. Calm down. But like, that shit is at the very least based in the reality that QAnon exists and that like riling up QAnon supporters is a thing that makes Trump happy because they're his voter base and he's going to need them to like be the vanguard for the for Operation Illegal Third Term when he goes for it after the 2026 midterms. Oh yeah, that was a quick little segue we can make here is that during this government shutdown, he like showed Jeffries and Schumer some Trump 2028 hats and was like, and like everyone was like, oh shit, he totally owned those Dems with those hats. Oh, slam. And then they were talking to J.D. Vance about it. And then like a reporter said something to Vance and he was like, they were like, do you like the hats, J.D.? And he was like, ha, 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 no comment. And it's like, oh, you cuck. You absolute spineless sack of shit. I mean, it's so funny to me that he has to do this song and dance because it's like in any political party where the people in that party had any spines whatsoever, J.D. Vance would be like, look, he's term limited. I'm the vice president. I'm the heir apparent. In 2028, I'm the front runner for the nomination. Anyone who wants to fuck with that can go fuck themselves. I'm J.D. Vance. I'm your next president. Like suck on these, like, buddy. But nope, J.D. Vance doesn't have that kind of salt in him. He doesn't have that kind of gumption. So they're like, hey, J.D., you're just going to be vice president until Trump dies. That's basically your, like, lot in life, ain't it? You're just Trump's cuck. And J.D.'s like, yes, I am. Gonna go sit in the chair right now and just watch. Just watch Donald Trump and the presidency make sweet, sweet love to each other illegally for a third time. And yeah, it just made me like laugh so hard that he just can't bring himself to it. I mean, literally he, Teal, and all the people around Vance are just sitting there going, come on, swollen ankles. Come on, hand bruise. You can do it. Make this easy for daddy.
Dude, they've been hitting with that stuff a lot too this week. Cause, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it more later, but, somebody asked him about, what Pete Hegseth said about how, you know, soldiers shouldn't have any facial hair. And they asked, Vance, who is, you know, bearded about that. And he was like, oh, I must have missed that part of this speech, but it was a great speech.
Oh, what a jolly jape. Yeah. That kind of really always like struck me as very odd because it's been, we haven't had an unshaven vice president or president like a century. And then when they picked Vance for the vice presidency and he didn't shave, I mean, it really just felt like, yeah, we got this in the bag. We don't have to do anything. Cause it's been like literally a consensus for like almost a century that women like their male politicians clean shaven.
Yeah, I think Taft was the last president to have any facial hair.
Right. So it's like, so if Trump has the magic Big Mac, we're going to get our first bearded president in a dog's age. And like, and boy, howdy, won't we be blessed? What a lucky nation we will be to have President Vance, his steady hand on the wheel, taking care of everything for us.
You mean Peter Thiel's steady hand on the wheel?
Oh man. The thing that's really funny to me is people are like, well, Vance will be sane, and it's and like that might be maybe true that Vance is lucid and not nuts the way Trump is. But you don't, like, no one understands. Like, no one except me, the smartest man in politics, Mike Raines, and humble, very humble too. But, like, Trump's approval rating is always around, like, 40%, because he gets into office, and then, like, 5 minutes later, people are like, why the fuck did we do that? Oh my God. Oh, I can't believe we did that again. Oh, this guy sucks. And it's like, yeah, you did it. Congratulations. Great job. Good job, everybody. And then everyone's just like, oh man, now we got to wait 4 years to get rid of this guy. And it's like, yeah, if you're lucky, if you're very lucky. But still, there's 40% of America that's just going to like ride or die with Trump no matter what. And the problem is that if the magic Big Mac gets him, about 39% of those people are going to think that J.D. Vance killed him. Like, that's just like Donald Trump could be like, attention, American people. I'm doing a Biden impersonation, but just take it for Trump. Like, Donald Trump would be like, look, everybody, just got the diagnosis from a doctor. I have a terminal form of cancer. That's just it. Like, sometimes the brakes just go against you in life. I'm resigning from the presidency. I hold no ill will towards anybody. It's just the way it is. Vance is taking over. I'm going to go head off into the sunset and spend my remaining few months with my family. God bless America. And literally everybody in QAnon and MAGA is going to be like, fucking prick murdered him. I fucking know it. Fucking knew he did it. Fucking Vance piece of shit.
He could live stream every second from that announcement until his death. Just have it on a
right
live stream 24 yeah. hours a day. People could watch every single thing he did. Like, oh, look, he just farted. Oh, he farted again. That's so cute. And people could see him die on video. And they'd be like, you know, there was that one frame with that shadow.
Right.
That it was that bastard.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
like when Trump was giving that speech, you couldn't see the deep state with their knife to his granddaughter's throat.
Right, exactly. Like like where was Barron? They had Barron in the bunker. They're like, make your father give up the presidency or you're dead. Like, all of it. Like, there would be no placating these people. There is, like, I mean, we're going to get into some Kirk bullshit at the end of this episode, but like, there is nothing that Trump leaving the White House by any means is unacceptable to these people. They look at this like nearly, he's 79, so this nearly 80-year-old man who is aggressively overweight, not cognitively lucid, and like has aggressively swollen ankles from a circulatory problem.
Scoffs at the idea of physical fitness.
Hates exercise. Thinks that your body has a finite source of energy, and that if you exercise, you're bleeding that energy off and killing yourself. And so,
and just note, he actually does believe that. We're not saying this for hyperbole.
Right. This is like literally the South Park Mormonism episode where they're flashing on the screen. They really believe this. Yeah, this is a real belief of Donald Trump's, that your life force inside your body has a finite resource. And if you use it up, you die. So, yeah, it's great. But yeah, the fat sedentary blob that is almost 80 in the White House currently, with one medical condition they admit to and another medical condition that they literally lie to us about and say, oh, he just shakes too many hands. That's why his hand has an unhealing bruise on it always, that we spackle like bronzer on it, like his face makeup we put on his hand to try to hide it from you. And it's just,
and it's obviously painful because, I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the pod before, but I know I have talked about it before. But the way, if you notice when he's sitting at the Resolute desk, he doesn't put his hand on top of the other hand. He kind of tents his hand over it. Like, he doesn't want to actually touch the back of his hand. And as someone with eczema who has had, you know, like very painful, like cuts on my body from scratching so much, I know what he's doing and why he's doing it, and it's because it's too painful to touch, but he's also trying to hide it at the same time.
Right.
When I have blood taken, I have to have it taken out of my hand. I just had to get a blood lab done last week, and that is like one of the most painful places to get it taken from. If the bruises are from an IV injection, that is going to be sore. And there's also a chance that the blood vessels there can kind of like not blow up or explode, but kind of swell. They will swell. And I'm an easy bruiser. I barely have a bruise from last week. I had the world's best phlebotomist, but when you get it out of your hand, that bruising, and that is a painful, painful place.
Yeah. And apparently, the main theory about what's going on is that Trump is getting injections in the back of his hand of some kind, like be it like IV or some kind of drug that he's being treated with. And if they have to put that into your hand every month, that sucks. I mean, that's like a serious thing. And that's why it's really interesting that the press secretary was willingly saying, like, yeah, he has a circulatory issue, which is why his ankles are huge. But we're going to tell you the truth about the ankles, but we're just going to lie to your face about his hand. And the press is just going to eat shit and acknowledge that his hand, too many handshakes is the hand excuse, which is just tell me another one, buddy. I mean, like, what are we doing here?
And I know I'm leaning into conspiracy theory stuff here, but I mean, from what I heard, the thing that causes the swollen ankles is usually not that serious, which would hit that if they're talking about that and not the other thing. The other thing is probably more serious.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean,
you know, the old admit to a lesser crime to hide the bigger crime dodge.